Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is entitled, What is Influence and How to Gain It? And the reason I'm talking about this today is because when you are trying to get a job or even have your own business and sell your products, what you want to do is be able to influence others to buy your products. So that is important to understand how influence plays a role in your life and what it truly is. So here I'm going to give you a brief history on influence and discuss why this code works so effectively. Many people believe that influence and persuasion is the same thing, but in reality, persuasion is really just a part of influence. It is merely a component that can be used in the influence process, but persuasion in and of itself is not influence. The main difference between persuasion and influence is that persuasion is when you use a set of tactics to gain compliance from someone or to get them to do what you want them to do. Influence is a state of your identity. It's your present. It's who you are. And when you attain that state of being truly influential, you can gain what is known as conversion as opposed to compliance from someone. Compliance is when someone does what you want them to do, but you haven't necessarily affected their belief system. When you affected their thought process only. In other words, you've gotten them to act in a way that they may not necessarily agree with deep down inside, but they have complied nonetheless. They may just comply because of outside factors, that social norms are immense short-term rewards. Conversion, on the other hand, is much more powerful. Conversion is when you completely change someone's belief system. When you can do that, they will fully buy into your message. When they fully buy into your message, they will follow you even if you don't say anything at all. You become more of a symbol for what they agree with and identify with. In essence, you begin to share an identity with them. There is big difference if you share not only your message, but your identity. Who you are right now becomes a part of the other person's identity too. Influence is extremely powerful because it is in essence be used without any direct effect. Okay. And let me digress here. Think about it. When you watch a movie and you have a certain actor or someone that you follow, then they can influence you if you just look at some of the things that they're into. Like some of the actors get involved with HIV and help raise money for them. Or like in George Clooney's situation, he has gotten active in Balfour, and what is going on there, and the hunger, and he's able to bring people to his cause. Even Brad Pitt, when he has gone in and taken his money and started building in New Orleans to help the people who were flooded out during the hurricane season, that this has brought more attention to what has happened to these people after the fact, because when you first hear it on the news, what happens is you want to help, you want to do something, but as time goes on, you forget about it. So there is an influence to a point, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to convert you into becoming a part of the cause. But if you have someone who you have watched on TV that they have influenced you, then guess what that does? That has brought more to that course. If you look at some of the soap operas, they're now going off the air because the storylines are getting stale. They're using the same plot lines. There's nothing new and different about it. But when you have watched a soap opera for years and years, then you get invested in one character or the other and in their relationships. That what happens is with the internet, you've gone on the boards and you let people know how you felt about the storylines, or you let them know how you felt about a character being cut from the show. And then you've been able to bring them back, so you've been able to influence the powers that be, in essence, by your ability to let them know that you watch this show because of such and such character in that. And also the storylines, because what happens is the actors, they act out the storylines they're given. They really don't have, they can give their input as to what they would like to see happen, but at the same time, they can't influence the writers on what plot lines and what storylines to actually come up with. So oftentimes the most influential people are able to gain conversion and compliance from others simply because of what they've done in the past or who they are. The number one attribute of influence is credibility. Credibility ultimately makes you trustworthy, smart, and knowledgeable. You appear experienced and capable of being whoever it is that you're trying to be. Take Oprah Winfrey, for example. Oprah has an immense credibility. People will listen to just about anything that she says simply because of what she has done in the past. Oftentimes, we will see companies use celebrities that have credibility to influence others through commercials. That's the reason why hundreds of thousands of companies send their products to Oprah Winfrey's show every year with the hope that she will speak about them, even if it was just 30 seconds. They are well aware of the powerful effect that even a 30-second endorsement from Oprah Winfrey can have. This is simply because her influential power is immense. Influence is about who you are and how people perceive you. Some people assume that influence is always a positive thing, but nothing can be further than the truth. Influence is the impression that you make on other people. It can be positive or negative. Adolf Hitler had an extremely powerful ability to influence, as well as he influenced an entire nation to do what he wanted. The problem was that he used his power negatively. In and of itself, the power of influence truly is neutral. It is up to the influencer to decide whether it will be used for good or bad. My hope is that you take everything that you learn and use it for ethical reasons. Don't use this information to manipulate or coerce people into doing things that will benefit you when you know with your heart that it might not necessarily be good for them. When you do this, your influential tactics will ultimately backfire and have a negative effect on you. So why is that the case? The fact is that reputation also contributes a lot to someone's ability to influence. If you have a reputation for being someone who is smart, knowledgeable, or incredible, people will want to listen to you. Similarly, if you're a reputation for manipulating people or influencing them to do things that don't really benefit them, people will be less likely to listen to what you have to say. Eventually, your reputation will precede you to the point that you're incapable of influencing anyone with self-respect. Reputations are extremely powerful. Sometimes the statements about you and your reputation don't even have to be true. just the simple fact that a good amount of people are making a statement about you will create the social validity needed by others to believe that the claims are indeed true. We'll talk more about social validity later. And when you think about it and you think about the fact of the old world rules, then ethos refers to the character of the person that is doing the persuading. Aristotle believed that audiences could indeed be effectively persuaded if they felt that the person who was trying to persuade them was credible. On the other hand, if they viewed this person as being sleazy or untrustworthy, any attempt to try to persuade them would be continuously resisted. Aristotle also pointed out that ethos is not a thing or a physical, tangible quality that resides within a person, but rather it is how an individual is interpreted by the person that he or she was trying to persuade. Ethos could include the way they dress, their reputation, the way they carry themselves, their body type, the words that they use, the way they make eye contact, or their base of knowledge in whatever they are speaking about. Essentially, it is how the audience perceives the credibility of the persuader. Ethos is the psychological state of a person that you are trying to persuade. This is the audience's state of mind. The emotional state of the listener can impact the outcome of the persuasion. People generally make decisions differently depending on the mood that they are in. For example, when people are upset, angry, or in a bad mood, their judgment differs greatly from when they're in a good mood and are extremely happy. When it comes to pathos, you must know the person's state of mind at the moment as well as the person's desired state of mind. Once you determine the difference between the two, you can really begin to put this knowledge to use and work it to your advantage. By helping people get from whatever their current state of mind is to where they want to be, you will gain full compliance from them. Logos is the third prerequisite that Aristotle believes must be in place. This is the substance of your message, or the meat and potatoes of whatever it is that you're trying to convey. According to Aristotle, human beings are generally reasonable people who make logical decisions that will somewhat make sense to them. The prerequisites and concepts that Aristotle had are key concepts in today's world. However, you must understand that the rules of persuasion have changed over the years. Today, it is more multitude of reasons. The first reason is that we are living in the age of information. Aside from money, information is regarded as one of the highest forms of currency. With so much information being thrown at people on a daily basis via the internet, TV, and tons of marketing campaigns, people today are a lot more skeptical. Therefore, they do a lot more investigating when deciding whether or not information is valuable to them. The second reason why the rules have changed is because aside from information overwhelming people, it is also much easier to access than it was in the days of Aristotle. Back then, there were no places like libraries, much less the internet, where people could access thousands of pages of information on virtually any topic known to man. This lack of information is part of what gave Aristotle the ability to persuade as he did. In today's world, people are more educated. They have access to an abundance of readily available information, and anyone can get it in mere moments. So in today's world of persuasion, there are three roadblocks that you will generally have to face. The first roadblock is the fact that people have access to more information than they did many years ago. The second is that consumers are more doubtful and skeptical. It takes them more time to review information. And the The third is the fact that the internet has opened up a wide array of choices that never before existed for people. Within the world of persuasion are universal principles. These principles are neither good nor evil, or positive or negative. They simply exist the same way that the principles of gravity exist. The laws of influence and persuasion can be used in many different ways. Make no mistake, there are thousands, if not millions, of people out there that are using the principle of persuasion in negative ways. The reason that they're able to do this is because these principles of work. My hope is that anyone reading here or listening to this will use the principles and powerful techniques here not only to enrich their lives, but also enrich their lives of the people they are trying to influence, so that there is always a win-win situation. Rule number one, you must have an audience. Let's face it, persuasion and influence are all about gaining the hope and all the compliance of other people. In order for this to happen, there must be other people involved. It doesn't matter if it's one single person or hundreds or even thousands of people in order for the persuasion process to take place. But there must be more than one party involved. You must get their attention and engage them. In order for the persuasion process to even begin, you need to get someone to listen to you. The only way that you can get someone to listen to you is by gaining his or her attention. The best way to ultimately get someone's attention is to create a reputation, a brand for yourself, so that people automatically know who you are and what you have to offer before they even speak to you. Okay, let's digress here a little bit, and we are now in the midst of an election for president. And because the Democratic Party has their president, has their member in power, that what you're doing is, during this primary season, you're seeing people, multiple people run just to be nominated to run for the office of president. And what is happening right now is you're seeing them try to influence you to vote for them, so that they're coming up with a lot of rhetoric. Then you're seeing a lot of ads on TV where they're dogging out each candidate and bringing up all of their bad points, when in reality, they all have good and bad points. But unless you're very familiar with that person, unless you really understand where they're coming from, then what they're trying to do is influence you. But if you will take the time to go and research each candidate and find out what things they have done, what things they haven't done, what things they've done that have gone against ethics, then this information today is available to you on the internet, then guess what? You on your own can come up with your own decision. So it behooves you to use what is available to you to do research on each candidate to make your own decisions. And unless you're very familiar with that person, unless you want to see them elected, then what you do is you will go and you will help promote them to your friends, to your family, to whoever you want to see being elected. Once you become an expert in your field, people will know exactly who you are and what you are about. Until you get to that point, you need to begin to focus your energies on how to get the attention of people who have no clue who you are. There are many different ways to get someone's attention. The first is by striking up a conversation about something that you know interests them. You can do this by simply observing them, just take a close look at their clothing or even their immediate environment. These things could tell you a little bit about their interests, and you can begin to open up your presentation by relating to them in that aspect. Rule number three, there must be a mutual understanding. There must be a mutual understanding between both parties. You must understand the various components of your target and how he or she must understand your message. Second to having an audience, you must understand your audience and they must understand you. The fact of the matter is that you could be giving a speech on where people can find $1 million if you're saying it to it in a way that they cannot understand, chances are your message will be lost along the way. Aside from your audience being able to understand you, you must understand that those rules play into each other. In order for them to understand you, you must communicate to them in a way that they understand. You can only know that by knowing about them first. Make no mistake, persuasion and influence are all about understanding how the other party sees the world and delivering your message in a way that is congruent to that view. It is never about the way you see the world. Remember, if everyone saw things exactly the same way, there would never be a need to try to influence or persuade someone. We would all be living in harmony, making the same decisions and doing the same things without a hitch. But this is the real world. And in the real world, there is as many different beliefs about people and the world at large as the grains of sand on the beach. This leads me to my next part, which is, let me tell you that when you think about it, everyone has different behavior patterns. Each person can see something different. That's why when you look at the police, when they interview people at a crime scene, they are aware that, guess what, they can have 10 different people see the same situation in 10 different ways, so they have to be able to sift through it and find out what is reality and what isn't. So, adaptive persuasion is what makes your ability to influence so powerful. We're all different, and we have different values, morals, and beliefs. Ultimately, as we see the world in different ways, it is essential that you constantly adapt to the way the other party is seeing things when you are making your presentation to them. We see adaptive influence mostly in one-on-one sales conversations and sales presentations. It involves constant change in the presentation, which does involve more work. But ultimately, this approach will yield better results than non-adaptive influence, which we will discuss later. Adaptation is an extremely important part of all life on Earth. Every single species that lives must learn to adapt in some way, shape, or form at some point in life. Adaptation essentially is when you change a thought or a behavior in such a way that ultimately provides you with a better benefit. And what I want to do here is talk to you about, when you think about adaptation, think about how we have adapted over time and how our bodies have adapted over time. And let me give you a little flavor of what I'm talking about. When you consider that today a lot of people have high cholesterol and this influences their health, whether it be heart attack, whether it be being overweight or whatever, but all of that goes back to that during ancient times when we as human beings would hibernate instead of just sleeping 7 or 8 hours at a time, then our bodies were built to collect fat so that we could be we don't do that anymore. So what in essence is happening is that we are now having to figure out how we are going to adapt in today's environment. And that means when you consider the fact that a lot of the food that is out there today and what it has and what it has done to our bodies, then guess what? We have to consider all of those things in where we are and how we are going to look at our lives today. So consider all of these things that is going on in today's lifestyle, and then you can consider how you can make a difference. So, rule number four, know the game. You must know the game when it comes to influence. There are certain laws or principles that exist that you have to follow. The only way you can follow them is by knowing exactly what they are. Years of research and scientific evidence has shown us a great deal about the way people think, the way they behave, and ultimately how they can be directed to think and behave in certain ways. This is ultimately what influence is all about. Although there are many programs that claim that true influence can happen in a matter of moments, it is my opinion that and experience that they are dead wrong. The type of process that they are really talking about has to do more with persuasion than influence. And that's okay. In the field of behaviorism, what makes people do certain things? How people think and act and how influence is achieved still widely debated among different people. So when you look at the work of Sigmund Freud, B.F. Skinner, Kurt Lewin, Leon Festinger, Eric Erickson, Abraham Maslow, Paul McLean, and Ivan Pavlov, to put this simply, many of these psychologists form platforms for others to build on, and in some cases, their theories rivaled one another. After years of immensely studying these works and building relationships with others, I have taken bits and pieces and broke them down into simple code, which I believe represents what it really takes to influence the mind of someone else. Okay, now, in the last few minutes, what I want to do is give you an opportunity to understand where influence plays into your life. Because if you want to get a job, you need to sit down and write down what are your good points, what are your bad points. How will that benefit the company that you are applying for? If you are in sales and you have a product to sell, you want to look at the pros and cons. You want to look at how your product can help someone live a better quality of life. And you also want to be able to talk to someone in their natural behavioral style. Because when you do that, then guess what? You can be influential. So it all ties into where you are coming from. And I also want to remind you that we offer group and individual coaching to help you be successful in your business. And also having good personal development, understanding where you are coming from and how you can help other people will help you get what it is that you truly want in life. And remember, you can come back next week. And our show next week will be talking about the desire of making progress. And this also comes into how influence plays into who you are and where you come from. And I want to take this to remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com.